This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Little tribute here, Nelly. I love it. We lost this guy a couple of days ago. Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan until 10:35 tonight. Joel Nelson with me behind the glass. If you're a fan of tonight's soundtrack, you can credit him. A lot of people very happy with the work that Joel does with the music choices. A lot of people, especially wrestling fans, happy with what our guy Gorgeous Charlie Borges does on his nights behind the glass. We're going to get into a lot of different stuff tonight. I want to start, though, with a few Pirates trade hypotheticals. There are also some Penguins trade rumors out there. But I do want to start with the Buccos because they are a big topic of conversation right now. They are coming off 2 out of 3 wins in Cincinnati. It's a nice series win against a divisional rival. And they go into a weekend series against one of the teams and organizations I view as the class of baseball, not necessarily this year because they are trailing a Philadelphia Phillies team that is just off to a manic start in the first half of the season. The Phillies, arguably the best team in all of baseball. But they will play the Atlanta Braves Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, a special morning start time on Sunday, by the way, 11:35 first pitch. You can listen to that game right here on 93.7 The Fan. Joel, I believe it's Roku where the broadcasts are.
That is now, correct, Donnie. Roku's got the television rights for that game on Sunday morning. So, perfect day to spend it with us.
I should have probably looked into that more beforehand because I have a Roku at home. So, I guess it's just on like the Roku channel or something. Like there's an app with it that I probably should have just downloaded, or maybe it comes with the device automatically. I don't know. But, yes, they will be playing at 11:35. On Sunday morning, and the only local broadcast to that game, and if you don't have Roku or Roku TV, you have to tune in right here on 93.7 The Fan. I want to get into some of the Pirates trade hypotheticals that have been floated around for the last couple of days. And we're going to take the first one from our pal Pony. We just got done, you know, full show kind of going back and forth on some of the hypotheticals that the Pirates could be looking at. One I found interesting that he put out there on Twitter yesterday per a Pirates source on his tweet. It would be a trade between the Pirates and the Miami Marlins. Miami would receive Henry Davis, Mike Burrows, and Luis Ortiz. The Pirates would receive Jazz Chisholm and reliever Tanner Scott. Joel, I want to get your take on this in a second. I actually have more of a holdup with guys like Burrows and Ortiz than I do Davis on this deal. And I would not have ever expected myself saying that, especially due to the fact that Davis was a former first overall pick just 3 years ago. But I think Davis right now is actually the easiest part of the deal to part ways with. Maybe it's recency bias, maybe it's naive of me, but I like what Ortiz is doing for this ball club right now. He seems like the type of player, doesn't come across as important. By the way, some big NBA news that we will touch on in a few minutes and later in tonight's show that just came down. I have more of a holdup with Davis because Ortiz is the type of guy, not that he is the best player on the roster or even the best pitcher on the roster. He just seems like the type of player that they have right now that is a glue guy. Like, things could fall apart if you take Luis Ortiz out of the current situation. I mean, think about it. He has come up in some important situations, not exactly a high leverage pitcher per se in the late games. He's not pitching in the seventh, eighth, or ninth innings, but he has come through multiple times when the Pirates have gone with an opener, when they've used Carmen Majinski, and then they go with Luis Ortiz to eat the bulk of the innings. He was fantastic yesterday in the rubber match against the Reds. Six innings, just one earned run, seven strikeouts. I feel like he is actually a very key component to the operation right now. In an area that is very, very thin on their roster, which is that middle relief part of that bullpen, he's a very important player to me. And you're going to find this funny because the names I'm going to bring up in the last decade plus of Pirates baseball when these guys were on playoff teams, they won't be remembered as important as they probably should be. Joel, do you remember the names Genmar Gomez or Brad Lincoln?
Only a slight little bit, but
so,
that's it.
Not necessarily memorable players, not even necessarily good players, but they at least played a key part in what those Pirates teams had as they made runs to the playoffs because they were that long relief guy. Sometimes they would make a spot start, and hey, sometimes they would surprise you. I think that's kind of what Luis Ortiz has done this season. ERA in the low threes. He's been great for them. He really has been. He's fallen into this new role, and he has been thriving since the season has begun. And then Mike Burrows is really a question mark. Coming off Tommy John surgery, he is still in their top 10 prospects. He's number 9 right now since Paul Skeens is officially off that top 10 list. They are loaded with pitchers. So that's where you maybe make the sense of it's a 24-year-old. He hasn't yet come up. We shouldn't have too much of a holdup getting rid of this guy because you have names like Chandler, Solometo, Harrington, Ashcraft, all of those guys in the top 10, those names all in the top 5. Termar Johnson, the only position player that is in the top 5 with all of those pitchers. So two out of the three guys probably somewhat easy to part ways with. Maybe you already see Henry Davis as a done deal. Like, this guy really just, it's not clicking for him. He won't figure it out. You maybe have that fear he's the catching version of Tyler Glass now. I don't know. Guy who dominated all the way through the minors, just can't figure out how it works in the majors. Maybe he goes elsewhere and becomes a great player. That always could happen. I understand that. But you also can't play afraid like that. So, Joel, first, I'm going to put that deal on the table for you. Oddly enough, my big holdup there is Luis Ortiz. So the deal would be the Pirates sending Henry Davis, Mike Burrows, Luis Ortiz to the Marlins. In return, they get Jazz Chisholm and Tanner Scott.
It's really tough. I would say no by a little slight bit because you can still see maybe there's still a little bit more that Henry Davis that the Pirates can discover. Luis Ortiz has been really good. I know that's, and he had that really good game yesterday and looks like he's becoming a very solid option for the Pirates now. So you'd hate to depart with him. And then, you know, you never know that Mike Burrows, he might be something pretty special. He may not get a full, like, workload this season. You know, and we'll see him hopefully sometime in the second half. He may not be pitching to his, you know, biggest extent yet coming off of the Tommy John surgery. But if I had to take a guess, I would say no by a slight little bit.
So if they could find some way, I think, with this deal to, you know, you could throw in another player, maybe even throw in another prospect if you want to. It's just, maybe I just have too much of an affection for how Luis Ortiz has played so far. If you could throw in somebody else that would be attractive to Miami, that is not Luis Ortiz, maybe it is one of those pitchers that is right around your top 10, right around the same spot as Burrows, but also maybe it is one of the many middle infielders that you have in your top 10. Or maybe you want to look into some guys that are in your teens in terms of your top 30 prospects. It's not like Luis Ortiz is a superstar. I just get this weird feeling with him. He is like a glue guy type player. And right now he is holding together a lot of things that really help out that bullpen. I mean, he has bailed them out multiple times in just the last few weeks. And not to mention before that, when he was in his normal role, he was already off to a really good season. Now, I said yesterday with the guys, they brought this up. I said that I thought Jazz Chisholm was a little bit overrated. I still think that. However, he would be a good player and one of the best players inserted into the Pirates offense. That's true. 78 games this year. He has 10 home runs, 37 runs batted in. He has stolen 14 bases. He's on pace to be a 2020 player. I mean, hard to deny that would be arguably the best Pirates player, maybe outside of Brian Reynolds right now. Hitting .264, the OPS, .764, the OPS plus is .111. And then Tanner Scott having a great season as well in that bullpen for Miami. So that makes it intriguing too. I understand that I'm probably overvaluing Luis Ortiz by a lot, but just something mentally tells me that he is doing a lot for what that pitching staff has. But if you add somebody like Tanner Scott, then you have a really serious bullpen, hopefully, down the stretch of the season. You hope Aroldis Chapman figures things out. It seems like David Bednar has. Now he's dealing with an injury. You hope that he can rebound from that. But Colin Holderman has been great. And you add Tanner Scott into the mix. He has a 1.59 ERA in 33 appearances this year, 34 innings. ERA plus of .277, that's off the charts. He's about a strikeout per inning guy. So it does raise your eyebrow a little bit, but for some reason with me, I don't like Ortiz being part of that. Here's another one with the Chicago White Sox. This is per Matt Spiegel of 670, The Score in Chicago. He says that the White Sox are expecting two, maybe even three top 100 prospects and something like 4 to 5 players in the whole deal for Luis Robert Jr. Robert hit another home run today. He's having a down year, but last season, I'll get to those numbers in a second, he was very good. He would be far and away the best that the Pirates have to offer. So, how many guys do the Pirates have in MLB's top 100 prospects, you ask? They have three. None of them are in the top 50. They're all within a range of 6 to 7 spots. Tamar Johnson is number 58, Bubba Chandler 63, Anthony Solometo is 64. Would you feel comfortable parting with any combo of those three or even all three? None of those players having very good seasons right now, or really even average seasons right now. Robert, again, having a bad year. He hit a homer today. He has 8 on the season. He's hitting under .200. But what did he do last year? really his first full season, which is kind of a concern right off the bat because he hasn't stayed healthy for an entire campaign. Now, the COVID year, 56 games, but 68 games after that, 98 games in 2022, and so far only 27 games in 2024. 145 games last year, he hit 38 home runs, which was his season high by 26. He had seasons of just 11, 13, and 12 before that. 38 home runs, he stole 20 bases. He hit 264. The OPS was 857. OPS plus was 129. He was an all-star. He had a great season. You wonder, though, is that the outlier in a positive way? So, Joel, I ask you again, how much would you be willing to part with for Luis Robert Jr.? Do you think that last year was just an outlier in a positive sense? Do you think he'll ever get back to close to what he did with the White Sox in 2023? Is he worth somebody giving up two, maybe three top 100 prospects for?
I think so, and especially because for the Pirates, you know, there are a lot of question marks about, are they really going to take the trade deadline serious this year? And I think if you were to trade, you know, your three of your four top prospects, I think that does say that you're being serious. You might have to also overpay to, like, really make an exclamation point that you are being serious to other teams and that you are trying to contend this year. So I think so. I think there's still plenty enough left in the tank for Luis Robert Jr. to become a really good bat again. And we see the Luis Robert Jr. of old.
I would honestly really consider that one. And maybe I wouldn't want to part ways with all three of those guys. Maybe find a way to make it two. And then you pick out two other players maybe out of your prospects that are maybe outside of the top 100 in all of baseball. But say it's Johnson and Chandler or Johnson and Solometto, because you're going to imagine it's going to be the position player and then one of those two pitchers. I would really consider it because, I mean, they got a lot of pitchers loaded up. They got a handful of middle infield guys as well in just their top 10. So I think they should make a move. Robert Murray was on the Baseball Insiders podcast, kind of scoffed at Pony's idea about Vlad Guerrero Jr. We may get into that later on. But he suggested Taylor Ward as a move that they should make. They are in the thick of things. They do have to be a team that does something if they stay this way for the next few weeks, because the trade deadline is about a month away. We know that they have been afraid to move on from prospects at times, and we know an infamous time when they weren't, the Chris Archer deal. But I thought a caller made a good point yesterday. Scared money don't make money. They shouldn't be scared of what happened years ago because it burned them. Also want to touch on the Penguins quickly here, because there is the Tristan Jarry rumor that has been floated out there. There is belief that he's on the block. That comes from Elliot Friedman. He's the NHL version of Adam Schefter. Talked a little bit about this last night with Charlie, because Charlie is our resident hockey fanatic here on The Fan. I would move off Jarry as fast as possible, to be honest. Joel, I don't know how you feel about Tristan Jarry. I don't trust him as a player. I think the contract stinks. He gets hurt too often for me, and he chokes in big games. They probably won't get the Linus Allmark return, and that's fine. But if I can move off the contract and the player, then I'm in. I think Alex Nedeljkovic signing that two-year deal really makes you question how much faith they have in Tristan Jarry.
I would make the trade, too. Yeah, it almost feels like signing back Nedeljkovic on, what, it was a two-year deal, I think?
Yes.
So it's really not a one-year prove-it deal. He's got a chance to be the Penguins' number one goalie now. Probably will be if Jarry were to get traded. We know that Joel Blomqvist is set to be up at some point, and I would imagine he'll play a good handful of games for the Penguins this year. And Nedeljkovic would be their number one goalie, and he was just that in the home stretch of the regular season last year. And I think with kind of a timeshare between those two guys, where maybe Nedeljkovic gets like three of every four starts, four of every five once Joel Blomquist is here. I think absolutely you could trade Tristan Jarry. It's weird that it's, you know, one year after that 5-year deal he signed, but got to do what you got to do, right?
412-928-9370 if you want to react to any of that. Penguins trade rumors of Tristan Jarry, Pirates trade hypotheticals, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Luis Robert Jr., that deal we threw out there with the Miami Marlins. 412-928-9370. That is also the number of the fan text line, which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, got something pretty cool on tap, especially if you are a follower of local high school athletics. Going to talk to someone that was a local Olympic hopeful this year, did not quite reach the threshold to make it, but still plenty of time to do so in her career. We have Lily King, Mount Pleasant swimmer, NC State recruit, coming up next to tell her story right here. Donnie Football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ball with you on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football with you tonight until 10:35. Bronny James just got drafted by his daddy's team, the Los Angeles Lakers. We will get into that later on. We have George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. He will join us around 8 o'clock. Bub Carrington got drafted last night. He will play for the Washington Wizards. He was selected 14th overall. We'll get into that as well. Right now, really excited for this one. Lily King, Mount Pleasant swimmer, NC State recruit. She took part in the U.S. Olympic swim trials last week in Indianapolis. She joins us right now on 93.7 The Fan. Lily, first I have to start. The way that we got connected to do this, I had both of your parents in class. So as cool as this is for me, it's also one of those feel old moments for me. And I'm not even 30 years old yet, but I had your mom in first grade. You were not even born yet. She actually got pregnant with your big brother while I had her in first grade. And then I had your father for multiple years in high school, because he taught the like news TV classes. So honestly, yeah, he's somebody I have to thank a lot for sitting right here right now because he got me very interested in media. So I had to start there, just that, you know, you're making me feel old doing this because you're somebody who is still in high school and I had both of your parents as teachers.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. I remember them mentioning that and they thought this was cool. And I know my dad's excited that you have this show now. So yeah, that's super cool.
Well, I got to thank your dad. I can't thank him enough for the way he helped mold me when I was going through high school. I also got to ask too, before we get into the nitty gritty stuff. So I'm on vacation last week. I'm actually with my family. We're watching the Olympic swim trials. We hear the name Lily King, and I'm like, oh man, she's like about to be on. There's another Lily King that is an Olympic swimmer.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to have some story there with the amount of confusion that gets brought up.
Yeah, so it's really funny. It honestly happens like more often than you would think, which is interesting to me because we do two completely different events. She always does like the 100 breaststroke and the 200 breaststroke, and I'm completely sprint freestyle, so it's like two opposite things that we swim. But I was at a meet last year, and she was also there. And I remember there was a news report that came out after the meet saying that obviously she had like made the world championship team and she'd like broken these records in the 100 breasts and won the 100 and the 200. And then the picture that like was the front page of the article was a picture of me and not her, which I was so funny because I was like, I don't even know how they would have gotten like us mixed up because we have two different caps, but that was definitely a really funny moment for that. And then there were just so many different moments where people come up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, like, did you know that you have the same name? And I'm like, yeah, I know. So it's really funny. And then it's just, there was this one lady who came, her and her daughter came up to me outside of trials thinking that I was like the breaststroker Lily King. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to be like, no, like not that one.
You're just like, no, I'm the other one that's trying to be an Olympic swimmer. The other Lily King is over there. Have you guys connect, like, have you two individually connected at all?
Yeah. So I actually did have the chance to meet her on one of my college visits, which was super, super cool. It was definitely like a surreal moment for me because like growing up as a little swimmer, I was obviously always thought it was cool since she had my name and I just always looked up to her because she's this like amazing swimmer and amazing person. So meeting her, I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So yeah, we met and I got to get a picture with her. So that was fun.
When was it, Lily, that you hit the point as a swimmer that you were like, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this? Like, you always have people who, like, their goal is to be a pro athlete or, in your case, an Olympian, which is actually a realistic goal for you. But, like, every kid growing up wants to be a pro athlete in something. And they unfortunately hit that point where they're like, I'm decent at this. I'm good at this, but probably not good enough. You, however, are a different case. When did it click for you that you were like, okay, I am really good at this. Like, I could actually have a long future in swimming.
So I think when it clicked was the summer between my eighth grade year and my freshman year, like, of high school. And I was at a meet over the summer and I had swam the 50 free, like, got my best time and everything. I was like happy about it, but I didn't really like think anything of it. And then the next day, my coach came up to me and she was like, you know, you were just a half a second off the Olympic trials qualifying time, right? And I was like, I had no idea. So that's kind of when it, and that was when the times actually used to be a little bit slower. So I was a half a second off of that time. And then they changed the qualifying time. So I just had to get the faster time. But I think when my coach told me, she was like, hey, like, you were really, really close. Like, you could 100% get this next summer was when I was kind of like, okay, like, this could actually be something serious for me. And that was, I don't know. I just remember in that moment it not feeling real because I was just like, there's no way that is actually happening.
And I also understand that there are some, like, collegiate venues, like Pitt, for example. You have some records, like pool records at Pitt, which also includes actual pit swimmers. Is that right?
Yes. So I have the 100 free pool record at Pitt. I got that at Whippeals this year.
That is wild. I couldn't even imagine being in that spot. We're talking to Lily King, Mount Pleasant swimmer, NC State recruit here on 93.7 The Fan. She took part in the U.S. Olympic swim trials last week in Indianapolis. Obviously, want to get to that in a minute. Lily, I do want to get to your college recruitment. Like, you know, there had to have a ton of schools showing of interest, and then what ultimately got you to join the Wolfpack?
So I definitely did have, I had some great options. I mean, the recruiting process for me was definitely something that was really fun and definitely eye-opening into like kind of like where I was with my swim career. So it was awesome going through that and getting to talk to some different coaches. But I think what settled it for me with NC State was when I was on my visit, I just remember immediately feeling so at home and so comfortable with the team and the coaches and the head coach, Coach Braden Holloway. He just really made it very clear from the start that he was like, this is the potential that I see in you. This is where I see you fitting in on our team. And that was just like really, really cool to hear that. And I don't know. It just felt really right on my visit. And I get along really well with the girls and the coaches. And I love the team culture that they have. And I think we have some really great potential with the team. So I'm super excited about that.
So in the Olympic swim trials last week in Indianapolis, you took part in the 50 freestyle, the 100 freestyle as well. Unfortunately, missing out on the threshold to qualify for this set of Olympic Games. But, you know, just talk about that whole experience, you know, getting to go through all of that. I know that you really just wanted to take this in more or less than, you know, have all that pressure on you to qualify and get there. So what was this entire journey for you like to get to basically the doorstep of the Olympic Games?
So it was really like you said, I really was for this one just focusing on, I wanted to go in and soak up the experience. I wanted to go and do my best and try and get best times, which I was able to do in both my events. So I was very happy about that. And I don't know, this was definitely the most insane experience of my life. The biggest meet I've ever been to. It was so cool. Like, getting to experience that, it was fun swimming there. It was fun watching the meet. So I could not be more grateful for this experience.
When you're actually swimming, how much can you hear the crowd? Because, I mean, I've been to some of my little cousin's swim meets, but that's at a high school level. Like, how much, when you're in a football stadium for a swim meet, that's got to be up a handful of notches. But you're in a pool at the same time and obviously focused on the task at hand. How much can you actually hear crowd noise?
So I can honestly say, like, when I was walking out for my races, I feel like once we walk out of the ready room, my mind kind of just like goes blank and I'm not really aware of anything else except for like the pool. So like when I walked out of the ready room, I just like kept my eyes on the pool. I knew I didn't want to look up at the crowd or anything because I didn't want to get overwhelmed. So I just kind of like walked straight forward and kept my eyes on the pool, and I didn't even really hear the crowd because I think I was just so like locked in and focused on being about to swim that I didn't even really like notice it until like after my race. And then like when I was watching, that's when I really heard it. And the crowd was like really, really loud.
Are the 50 and 100 free, are those your two best events by far? And what are some other events that you really thrive at?
Yeah, so I would say that my three best events are the 50, the 100, and the 200 free. But the 200 free, I do more of that like short course. That's more during high school season. But those are definitely my three best events. Every once in a while, my coach will throw me in the 200 IM for like a high school dual meet. But mostly whenever I swim like big meets, it's the 50, 100, and 200.
Biggest accomplishment so far, I guess, with the exception of being as close as you were to the Olympics.
That's a good question. I would say for me, I think one of my biggest accomplishments from this past season was getting the pool record at Pitt, because I just always like, I mean, I've swam that in that pool multiple times, swam meets at that pool multiple times. And I would just always look up at the record board and think like, how cool would it be to have your name up there as a pool record holder? So I think like getting that this year was a moment for me where I was like, kind of like, wow, that's like, it was kind of like an I made it moment, I guess.
Some pretty immediate goals that you have set for like this next calendar year and maybe as you get into your first year at NC State.
I would say I definitely just want to, for this high school season, I always go into the season kind of just thinking about, okay, how can I improve on like everything that I did last year, see if I can get my records from the past year down. I just go for best times every year and think about things that I can improve on to be able to get those best times. So I try not to set anything like too crazy because I like to just focus on one thing at a time. So
should we all be on the lookout for Lily King 2028 U.S. Olympic swim team?
I would say that's definitely something that I'll probably be thinking about once I'm in college, but that's still 4 years away, so I've got a lot of time to think about that and work on that. But since I think that'll be in between my junior and senior year of college, so that'll definitely be something that I'm thinking about.
I also should probably know this. Are you the only swimmer in your immediate family? Did either of your parents swim? I mean, I obviously knowing your dad is a very, very tall man, so you guys have very good builds for swimmers. Were you the only one that became a swimmer?
My mom swam for like her YMCA team for a couple years when she was like really young, but that's about it. I think, yeah, I'm the only one that really like picked swimming as my main thing.
There you have it. Lily King, Mount Pleasant swimmer, NC State recruit. She took part in the U.S. Olympic swim trials this year. Coming up just short, but be on the lookout a couple of years down the line. Lily, thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck next season.
Thank you. Good luck at
NC State. Tell your parents I said hello as well.
I will. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. There you have it. Lily King, genuinely one of the best athletes, one of the best high school athletes in the area right now. We hear so much about football and basketball, about the athletes that we have all over the place, which we do. I mean, there are some fantastic hoopers. There's some fantastic football players in this area. Swimming, something that, you know, obviously not my area of expertise. I was built completely wrong to be a swimmer. Short, stocky, very hairy man. Like, that's not going to work out for me in a pool. Very non-aerodynamic when I'm trying to win a race via swimming. It doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but I mean, this is somebody who at 17 years old was on the precipice of the biggest stage in that sport. So rooting like crazy for Lily to have another crack at it in a couple of years. So look out for her on the college circuit. And then once we hit around this time, 4 years from now, maybe a name that you want to have your eyes on ahead of those Olympic Games. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. You can reach us on Twitter as well. That is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up, we'll get into a little bit more of an Olympic discussion. Also, some breaking news in the NBA that has to do with the NBA draft. We will get on to that coming up next. It's Donnie Football with you on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Another thank you to Lily King, Mount Pleasant swimmer, for taking the time to join us tonight. She was on the doorstep of the Summer Olympic Games, and also I had to add in there, the only reason that this connection was made and that interview happened, I had both of her parents as teachers. I had her mom in first grade before she was even born, and then I had her dad for multiple years in high school. So that was cool to, you know, get to chat with her, get a little bit of her background and her story as she is on her way to NC State to swim for the Wolfpack. Jolie, I have a take for you. So Bronny James, one of the biggest Nepo babies of 2024, he got drafted by his daddy's Lakers with the 55th overall pick. I already have people bitching up a storm at me because I'm acting as if this is the first time nepotism has taken place in sports. No, I'm aware it's not. But LeBron James's kid ain't a very good player. And you know what I'm going to say? I think Blake Hinson will be more useful for the Los Angeles Lakers than Bronny James.
I like it. I like it, Tony. That's good.
Blake Hinson, one of the most electric recent Pitt Panthers hoopers. He is signing as an undrafted free agent, signing a two-way deal with the Lakers. And he'll be a better player than Bronny James. And I feel pretty good about saying that. Joel, I don't know if you have it pulled up in front of you. Are you aware of what Bronny James did last year, his only season with USC?
I know that it wasn't very good. He scored like under 10 points a game, right?
Try under 5 points per game, my friend.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
4.8 points per game, 2.8 rebounds per game, 2.1 assists per game. He shot just 36%. His three-point percentage was under 27%. His free throw percentage was about 2 out of every 3. So if people want to bitch and complain and act as if this kid would have gotten drafted otherwise, then I don't know what to tell you, because he would not have been picked. Maybe somebody I go to more for info like this will tell us something different in about an hour. George Michalowski from Pittsburgh Sports Now. He is usually on the pulse of a lot of college basketball and NBA. So we'll talk to him in about an hour's time. But wanted to get into some of the other Olympic stuff. Looking at some of the other Olympic sports that take place in the Summer Games. Not all of these still exist, but a funny list that we can go down here, Jolie, that we will see in this year's Summer Games in Paris. 3-on-3 basketball, which has been around since the COVID year of 2020. Archery, artistic swimming, badminton, baseball, not this year. It's like select years. It'll be back in 2028. Basketball, breaking. I am not really sure what that is. Looks like it used to be a youth Olympic game. Boxing, canoeing, cricket. These are all things we have at least heard of. Cycling, diving, equestrian, fencing, field hockey. In 2028, we will get flag football, Jolie. Football as well, which if you did not see, the Japanese under-20 team just beat up on the United States. That's a little bit concerning. Golf, gymnastics, handball, judo, karate they had in 2020. Looks like that they aren't having that this year. Lacrosse will be a sport that returns for the first time in 120 years in 2028. The modern pentathlon, rowing, rugby sevens, sailing, shooting, skateboarding, softball, sport climbing, squash will be brought in 2028, surfing, swimming, table tennis, taekwondo, tennis, the triathlon. They used to have the tug of war for only a 20-year stretch from 1900 to 1920. That would be a fun one to bring back, I think. Volleyball, water polo, weightlifting. That's always a fun.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.